right, Philippians week 28, the joy of the nuclear option, which is going to freak somebody out.
Well, it's
prior
like
to service.
It's like pumpkin killing, right? How dare you have killing in it? So
yes, which we get every year, multiple times.
Yep. So today we're going to deal with the idea of anxiety and the word anxiety that Paul uses in Philippians 4. A lot of translations will use the word worry. The King James Version uses the word, it says, be careful about nothing, which is hilarious, right? Because you be careful about, like, we would just get it wrong. Anyway, it really means troubled in heart, which is really anxiety. And one of the things that Paul does to teach us how to deal with issues like anxiety is to think about the gospel. And we don't typically do that because when we go to things where we deal with stress or trying to have stability in our lives, we tend to look at a method for taking care of whatever is happening at the moment. Breathing techniques, how to de-stress in your life, all these things, because we're taught to just take these little bits and pieces and start to work it into the rest of our life. And yet Paul doesn't do that and the Bible doesn't do that. What the Bible does is it always goes towards God's work and what he's doing, and we call that the gospel, the good news of Christ's rescue. And Paul says that that's how we go after everything. You look at the disagreement between two people. What does Paul do? Paul says, yeah, here, let's figure this out, but he says it's in the Lord. He starts in the place where it starts with the nuclear option, the gospel. You just take everything else out in light of it. And so I'm giving three disciplines on how to do that. And the first one is the discipline of prayer, which is not just asking God for things, but spending time with him. But Paul says by prayer and supplication, so we do ask. And one of the ways that I think we ask and talk to God about what's going on in our lives is we thank him before the outcome. Like whatever the outcome is, we pray and say, God, I think that you're working in this. Even if we don't have an answer to what we're asking for yet, we still thank him for all possible outcomes because we know he is good and he will use all things for his glory. And then we have the discipline of what I called reasonableness, which didn't sound like a discipline at all. But it really is the idea of an evenness of temper. Again, the evenness of temper in our lives comes from understanding the gospel. And then ultimately, as we walk and trust him in those, that leads to walking in God's presence. And so there's a discipline of walking in the presence of God. I think all those three things have to go together where we spend time with him, evenness of temper, walking with him through all things because it breeds a deeper trust. And all of that comes back to the idea of using the nuclear option of the gospel on everything. So what do you think is the benefit of using, as I call, the nuclear option on all things first? And again, not that there aren't books or things to read that will help us work through our individual things, but to start with the gospel and everything.
I think a lot of it comes down to how we think about the gospel. And yes, there are tools that I think are derived from like these fundamental assumptions that are found in the gospel. But I think if you view it as just that, like the foundational truths we come back to, I think of so much of anxiety for myself, for clients, for people I love, it's really born out of untruth. It's born out of lies. And so I think coming back to the source of truth and what is the reality of who we are and like who God is and what he's doing in me at this time, it naturally comes face to face with those things.
You guys just started a new gospel community.
Yeah.
And there's anxiety around that, right?
Totally.
Is anybody going to show up? Are they going to connect? Are they going to show up for a week and then want to go somewhere else?
Grieving your last group and wondering, did I do the right thing?
Right.
Jumping
right
into this. Yeah.
So how have you seen, maybe not just you, but other people respond when anxiety begins to overwhelm them?
It depends. You know, and anxiety is really multi-causal too. And so much of it comes from narratives maybe we've carried through our whole life or through events that have shaped us, you know, for better or for worse. And there's huge diversity, I think, in how anxiety manifests from person to person. But at its best, I think anxiety can kind of reveal, if we're willing to face it, and if we're willing to name it, I think it exposes unbelief, which I can sound harsh to people, but you know, we all experience unbelief every day in different ways. And so I think if we view that as an entry point to, wow, I've really veered from the safety, the rest, again, of this like gospel truth, it's kind of an entry point for us to actually explore that and hopefully receive some encouragement.
I think anxiety in the world is a result of human sin and fallenness.
Of course.
Right. Adam and Eve, as soon as they sin, they run from God and they hide. God comes walking. They're like, oh, no, that's anxiety. That's some fear. But it doesn't mean that somebody's own personal anxiety, like they have a panic attack, that is the result of your own sin. But right. In the larger picture, it is a result of sin in the world. And so I think we have to take the larger picture of what takes care of that sin problem, the gospel, right? Christ's work. And so when you look at the big explosion of fear and fallenness, you look at the big nuclear explosion of Christ's redemption of us.
Yeah.
And then when you bring that to bear on those things, I think it would help to take a step back and then begin to deal with the issue as it is rather than world crumbling.
Right. And I think, I mean, going back to like gospel truths, I think the greatest assurance you can have too is that even as you are wrestling with anxiety or just whatever kind of adversity you're walking through, to know that God is with you and that he's bound himself to you and it's not contingent upon you processing it the right way. I think there have been a lot of traditions out there that have shamed people for experiencing anxiety, especially in the church. And actually even that is like an opportunity to receive the joy of knowing that Christ is with us.
When I think of anxiety specifically, I think of just like a like the nuclear option being a relief to exhaustion. I think of efficiency, like I don't have to go to the ends of the earth. I don't have to work so hard. You know, if you have this option that makes sense of all of these things in a holistic way that is true, it can be such a relief that you don't have to do all these things. You know, you can with one, you know, it's not a 12-step program. It's
right.
A one-step program that here's the answer. It makes sense of everything. It can bring, I think, about maybe steps, like you said, that's a starting point, right? It can bring about.
You have a foundation.
If you have that foundation.
Yeah. And that's why I really hope people don't walk away, and I'm going to do my best not to make it sound like this, but walk away feeling like this is just a trite answer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's the gospel. Just throw the gospel at it. That is the foundation where we have to start. And you move from there, but that's your basis. That's your solid rock of everything.
I feel so strongly about that, though, because sometimes I think with feedback like that, it's almost like we view the gospel as just a set of facts. It's like approaching it so cognitively. And it's interesting. It's like I do a lot of somatic therapy, right? But it's like the gospel is not just a set of facts. It's like the story of what God's continuing to do. And guess what? Like our God came like in the flesh. Like he cares about your body and he cares about what's happening to you. And he cares about, you know, the dysregulation you feel and your panic attack and all those things. And so that is also part of the gospel. It's not just coming back to like 2 + 2 = 4. Although, again, that's like an assumption that I think grounds us. It's understanding like God is in the midst of all of it and he cares about restoring us.
It didn't come across as trite to me at all. Some people would maybe go to, let's just say drugs and alcohol, right? Like go to some vice to try to numb the pain of whatever it is they're going through. And then you've got somebody who will work so, so hard to address with every tool she can possibly find can address this issue. And both will like miss the whole point. And so it doesn't sound trite to me. I feel like we've gotten to a point where we've gone to the end of our
human wisdom.
Plans, our human wisdom. Yeah, we've gone absolutely to the extremities of them and then realized that this was here all along and it is the only answer.
Mm. Yeah. And there's big stuff. I mean, there's health, right? And then there's, I think they're minute, more of the minute. Like, I think we need a reminder of the gospel in every aspect because it's what keeps us that, what's it, reasonableness. Like if we only turn to it in the big stuff, then it's harder when you actually in the big stuff, if you haven't experienced practicing it in the day to day of stuff. But
well, and I think it helps. I mean, I have this like the surgery and I mean, I'm sitting there and I'll like be in pain and I actually started to think of this. I'm like, okay, let's start with this. Jesus has rescued me. That's a great thing. I know my future's secure. And then that helps me to begin to deal with more of it. I was fighting with my wife. And I'm just like, okay, wait a minute. Let me start here. God is good. He's got both of us. He has saved us. now let me step into this conversation rather than, because it really does start to get rid of your own pettiness when you start to understand the gospel.
Expands your perspective.
Yeah.
I had to make a big decision this week, and it's hard because there's failure plays a part of making decisions sometimes. Feeling like you're letting down, feeling like, well, if we do this, then this won't happen or this will happen. And there's a moment of just stopping and saying, no, God can work whether this thing happens or this thing happens, whether we never get to be a part of something. God's actually the one who does the work, not us. So yeah, I think it's very important to recenter on who we are and who God is, because it's so much better.
Yeah.
In that order.
It's difficult for our hearts, I think, to become more and more tender in that way, to look at the people we may have hurt or offended, or maybe we don't think we did, but for some reason they think we did, and to go and try and seek them out. I think the natural tendency of hearts is to get harder towards things like that. Why do I need to go and spend my time with that idiot who doesn't understand what I was trying to say anyway? And it's like, that's their problem, not mine.
Yeah.
And I think to go to a more tender place, it does take the gospel. It takes understanding that God came to us in our broken spot and rescued us where we were to bring us back to himself. And so there's always that hopefully ripping of the callus off our hearts all the time, so we're tender and it hurts. And
I think so much of that, though, depends on, like we've talked about this the last couple of years, like attachment, though, with God, because again, there's that cognitive knowing, but there's this experiential trust of like, I can actually bring this to you and you're not going to dismiss it or shame me or cast me out. And so I think reinforcing that aspect of the gospel could be powerful for people in GCs that are struggling with anxiety.
Oh, and since you bring therapy words into this,
you know, so, I will.
So starting element therapy and care, Michelle, do you focus on the nuclear option as part of your services?
I often do. So the thing is, it really depends on the spiritual background of the client. So something that I'm really excited about is with this ministry offering, we're very clear about our spiritual beliefs and holding to, you know, the Christian faith, but also being hospitable to anyone, you know, regardless of their background. And so I have an ethical duty as a therapist to not impose my values, but there's an art to it. It's hard to explain unless you've done it and you're in the room, but there are ways where I think you can probe areas, you can ask compelling questions, you can explore people's underlying beliefs and assumptions and challenge those where appropriate. But for people that do profess faith in Christ and want to incorporate that, and oh yeah, I'm game. I love that. Nice. It's my favorite kind of work.
And what do you recommend somebody elevates to making, maybe placing a call into someone like yourself?
Sure.
For anxiety in particular.
I think if you just feel stuck, you know, not everyone needs therapy and they don't need it every season of life. But I think if you're in a place where you feel stuck, you feel like you have exhausted a lot of options and resources, and you need help, you need clarity, you need support, it's a wonderful thing to invest in that I think can be very fruitful in just quality of life, fulfillment in relationships, just your ability to feel present and safe in your own body. There's so many benefits to therapy that I've personally experienced and also that I've seen for clients.
And so what I want to do is for us to be able to take what the gospel actually speaks, not just know the facts of it, but actually be able to speak it into our lives and the people's lives around us so that we can recenter ourselves in Christ. And that's why we use the nuclear option.
See you next week.
So Michelle and I have a conversation.
Yeah, it's great. Good conversation. Fireside chat with
Fire Aaron Jason.